Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
You like fantasy sports and sarcasm, then I shall not make your muscles start to spasm. They could even call some of you to orgasm. It's the Razzball Podcast. Well, you have several choices. Only one joke and yes, and I've already unwinded. You might be yourself, just like your name was Moises. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.
Hello. I haven't even introed us yet.
Okay. Sorry.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? We're going to leave that right in there. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Capozzi. Thank you. Hold your applause. Thank you. Thank you. And I am joined, as always, live from the Mustache Convention. No, that was last week. Mr. Gray Albright Gray. How are you today?
What's up, bitches? I'm letting my hair hang down today without Rudy around.
I know
you. Hang down, mustache. Hang down.
I was wondering if you brushed it straight down, or did you put some sort of product in there?
No, actually, it's completely natural.
You know, it's funny because we do this.
I know. It's shocking, but I swear to God, I don't put any product.
It's funny because we do this via Skype, so I get to look at Gray's beautiful face all day as he looks. And it's funny, even when he's on Skype, he's looking longingly in the air at a 45-degree angle. It's fantastic.
Actually, when I get on planes, they have to dull it. So this way I don't distract the pilots. Totally true story.
We are not joined today by Mr. Rudy Gamble. Rudy is actually out scouting minor league prospects in the Korean League. So he is traveling abroad and having kimchi.
I hope he took his tagament.
We do have a big Korean following. So he went out there actually to sample some kimchi and scout some baseball prospects. So that should be really interesting. You know, there is a little bit of sad news today, Gray.
Oh, I thought you were going to do Gangnam Style.
No, it is. There is a little bit of sad news. We are slowly coming to an end of our baseball podcast season.
I
know. You know what? I was all for doing it year round. In fact, doing three or four episodes over the winter. But Rudy is too busy in his laboratory working on beautiful applications for Razzball.com for next season, and you.
Excuse me.
You also have the side career.
I hope my mom's not listening to this one.
You also have the side career in the adult acting business, so I know that that's your busy season. So today what we're going to do is we're going to discuss what went wrong. We're going to highlight some players that had a terrible year and what went wrong and kind of where they fit into the big picture next year. And then we'll have two more episodes after this. We will do a recap show at the end of the year. And next week, I'm trying to convince the guys to do a mock draft for 2013. I think that might be fun, but I'm...
Which guys are you trying to convince?
You and Rudy.
Oh, you made it sound like there's some other guys. I was like, wait a second, who are you trying to convince? I thought Rudy and I already agreed to do a mock draft.
No, but I was trying to get all the guys from the baseball conference to come out. I was going to get Tom Selleck and Rolly Fingers and Goose Gossage. And
what happened to the guy that you were talking to that writes for Grantland?
We're still working on that. But I'm working on the guys from the Gillette commercial with their well-coiffed mustaches, so... So
Just for Men guys, they would be good.
Yeah, absolutely. Andre 3000. So it'd be a mustachioed
Andre 3000.
A mustachioed mock draft.
Do you call him Mr. 3000? Because that's confusing with the bad Bernie Mac movie. R.I.P. Bernie. God rest his soul.
Oh, all right. So, without further ado, let's get going here on some of the guys that underperformed this year. And I think at the top of the list, someone who arguably went in the first round, if not early in the second round, you hope to have Evan Longoria play for you all year. And I'm gonna start calling him Langs.
Oh, man, he killed so many of our teams. We had let's look back at what I said in March. Blah, 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 blah. Evan Longoria wins the MVP. Blah, 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 blah. I'm a fucking moron.
But listen, it wasn't your fault.
I thought he was going to win the MVP. When I say Longoria made it on 9 of our 10 teams, I'm not even joking. Wow. Somehow we're still in the top 2 in 2 leagues, but only for one reason. You want to know what that reason is?
Why?
Starts with a T and rhymes with kraut.
All right, so...
See, on a serious note, you know that movie on YouTube that the Middle East is protesting?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it.
Yeah, okay, so imagine instead of that movie, the entire Middle East played fantasy baseball and they listened to my advice. Longoria and I... we would have a jihad on our heads. A jihad on your head. Do you think people in Libya, they say that instead of F off? Like you walk into someone's cubicle and you fart, and then they're like, a jihad on your head.
You know, I've actually traveled through North Africa, and that never happened to me. I enjoyed
my... Did you ever fart in someone's cubicle in North Africa?
No.
A jihad on your head. I wonder how many jihads on your head you could do in your lifetime.
Do you think
there's a limit? Like, you've already put a jihad on 3 different people's heads, so I'm going to have to pass on this one. But my uncle, he still has a jihad left to put on someone's head. So if we call him up and we're nice, maybe he'll use his last jihad for someone's head on Evan Longoria's head.
So what did go wrong? What happened to Evan this year?
He got hurt. If you only had one jihad left to put on someone's head, you'd have to think long and hard about putting that jihad on that person's head.
Yeah, listen, that's fair. And you know what? I don't think I'd put it on Longoria. I'm looking at the list of names we have to go through here, and I would definitely, you know, jihad a bunch of these guys later in the list earlier than I would Evan Longoria.
A jihad on your head!
Listen, how can you not expect you're going to have leg problems when you're jumping onto helicopters chasing a baseball hat? I mean, you play professional baseball. The trainer's got more hats for you.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I agree. It was probably that machine gun he was carrying around in the preseason. What are you doing carrying a machine gun? There's no jihad on your head yet!
You know what I think it actually is? Here's what went wrong. He's playing in Tampa.
I'm not even joking. Did you see that? Evan Longoria had a machine gun photo in the preseason.
I did see that, actually.
Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say now he's out with tired legs, and I'm thinking, I mean, I know Tampa's a retirement community, but come on.
Yeah, I know. I get tired legs, too, when I'm standing at an amusement park for 8 hours waiting to get on a ride. What the hell's he doing all day? Sit on your ass and then play a game for 2.5 hours. Tired legs. How long? What's the longest an inning ever? The longest inning ever was maybe 40 minutes. You can't stand for 40 minutes. You're a professional athlete.
Well, let me ask you this, in all semi-serious now. Is there a chance, I mean, longer term, they move him off third base just because he is such a good hitter in terms of preserving him, maybe putting him to first or DH? Well, not these two, to DH, but you know what I mean? Could you see a position change in his future, even though he's a gold glove caliber third baseman?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if it's going to happen next year, but I think, I mean, in general, all third basemen eventually get moved over to first base so they could stand around on their fat asses and not do anything.
Except Miggy.
Right. Miggy goes the opposite way because he's drunk.
Not enough postage. It was returned.
Why am I at third base? I'm fat and lazy, and I can't. And I have no athletic ability other than hitting a baseball. Why am I now on third?
Oh man!
Because we found someone even fatter.
Okay, so let me ask you this. This is a two-part question. Okay, this is how we're going to do this. I'm going to ask, where would you draft him next year? Okay. But also, where will he be drafted? So give me kind of his average draft position, but also where Gray would only where Gray would pick him.
Gray would pick him in the mid-third round, and I have a feeling that's probably where he's going to be drafted. I don't think he's going to fall that far. Maybe mid-fourth.
Okay, next up on our list is a guy that I wouldn't say I'd put a jihad on him, but I might put a hex on Troy Tulowitzki. But I think someone else has already put a hex on that poor boy, because he is always banged up.
Yeah, I'd put a jihad on his head, too.
if it was your last one?
Like, no, not if it was my last one. No, I mean, if Tulowitzki... Is there any way we can assume that he's going to play a whole season? I don't think so. At this point, I think you're lucky if you ever get four to 5 months from him. I mean, that's like your like best case scenario right now is 2/3 of a season. Is something wrong with his healthcare provider? What's his deal? Serious? Can he get an oblique transplant?
I mean, that guy's got soft tissue injuries.
I know. Do they do oblique transplants?
I think Tulowitzki is Polish for fragile.
Fragile. Hey, you're Italian. Can we call a doctor right now and find out if they do oblique transplants? I'm actually curious. And I don't know if I can continue this podcast until I find out for sure.
So, okay, this is a great opportunity to use the, we'll call it the Gray spread. Where's Gray taking Tulo, and where's he getting drafted by everyone else?
Are we calling the doctor about the oblique transplant or what? I'm really curious.
I just shot off an email as you were asking, so.
Okay. Is it one of those socialized medicine doctors, though, they have up in Canada? What does socialized medicine mean, anyway? I'm curious.
It means that we have our health care is included. Everything
really?
Yeah, are you kidding? You didn't know that? No,
I really had no idea. Did you see how informed us Americans are?
No, basically the way, not to get off track here, but yeah, no, you have full coverage. Right. You know, listen, it's not a perfect system. There's occasional hiccups with it, but I think the big difference is that people assume we pay a lot more taxes, and actually, we actually pay a lot less taxes than if you lived in certain states, plus we got the health care. So the only problem is we don't get enough sunshine up here, but which is why we long for spring training.
So do they do oblique transplants?
No, but I'll tell you what, and this is an honest to goodness true story. There's a lot of Americans who can't afford healthcare who actually come up to marry Canadians, and I guess that's technically taking advantage of the system. So if Troy Tulowitzki wanted to marry a Canadian, I could probably find a cousin or something for a fee.
I like this idea. This is a good idea. So Troy Tulowitzki is marrying your cousin.
Yeah.
I'm putting quotes around because we're not sure if you're going to find a cousin or a niece or even, wait, is gay marriage legal in Canada?
Yes.
Oh, well, then you can find a nephew. You'll find someone. He'll marry them, get an oblique transplant, and then I will draft him in the fifth round. No, sixth round.
Yeah, but where's he going to go? Third round? Fourth, maybe?
Oh, God, really? I don't know. We're always, by the way, we should specify, we're always talking about 12 teams, because otherwise, I mean, in a 20 team, he's definitely going in the third round. Tulowitzki, I would say, is getting drafted. Yeah, maybe the third round. It's terrible. That's a terrible draft pick, though.
Yeah. No, listen, I agree with you.
I wouldn't go anywhere near him. I mean, it's like, basically, it comes down to, do you want a lottery ticket in your third round pick, or do you want to try and get someone who has hit 25 to 35 homers for the last 3 years?
Yeah. No, listen, I hear you. It's just that there's always that temptation, that draw of the insane Tulowitzki month that makes it all worthwhile. So,
well, what makes it even more insane is the fact of his position eligibility, which also drives all shortstops. I mean, you have people like Hanley and Reyes going in the second round just because they're shortstops.
Well, as a guy that started Zach Cozart in a ton of leagues this year, and I'm close to winning them. No, listen, I'm totally fine at this point with trying to ride a hot hand and just I don't want to say punting the position, but really.
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel the same way about shortstop. I always take a late round flyer and then end up having to Frankenstein together a shortstop. Whatchamacallit, Rudy, who's not with us today, God bless him, he drafted Alexi Ramirez in our RCL 12-team league. And he's actually been able to keep him the whole year. Wow. Shows how stubborn Rudy is.
Actually, listen, I'm going to fess up right now. Rudy's actually here in Toronto because his afro...
Getting an oblique transplant.
No, his afro is starting to recede, so he's actually getting a hairline transplant. Because when you have that big of an afro, you know, you have to bring it every day. It's, you know, it's like the balding guy who's got dreadlocks and he's down to like 2.5 dreads. You know, it's...
I feel like this is more your job, but let's bring it back to fantasy baseball, Nick.
All right, next up on the What Happened list, Justin Upton. What happened?
He's a total piece of shit. See, no, honestly, see, with Longoria and Tulo, while I put jihads on their head, at least they were injured. Justin Upton just seems like he doesn't care. There's no excuse for apathy. I'm sorry. I have no sort of sympathy for that.
What's not attractive about a 15-15 outfielder hitting .272?
I think he had a little bit of a wrist problem in the beginning of the year, but still, I feel like it's mostly apathy. And I don't know. In the government, in school, in the workplace, fine if you want to be apathetic. On the ball field, there's no room for apathy.
All right, where are you taking him next year?
Next year, I'd probably going to take him in the fourth round and be very happy. Be excited about it.
Interesting. You're going to take him apathetically in the fourth round.
Yeah, hypothetically. I might even reach into the third round. Remember what I said about third round, I want a lock? I'm thinking Justin Upton. No, seriously though, Justin Upton, as opposed to like a Tulo, he was healthy. He just didn't feel like playing. If he plays up to his level, I mean, you're talking about a 30-15 guy. I'm more than willing to take that gamble.
Hey, actually, just really quickly, back to Tulowitzki, with those injuries and because he plays shortstop, could you see him having a future position change from a baseball perspective?
Without those injuries, it's like saying me without my mustache. There's always injuries with Tulowitzki.
Right,
if he doesn't have injuries, he's a first rounder.
All right, fair enough. You're right. All right, next up on the list, what happened to Agon this year?
Oh, wow. That's a good one. Woo!
I mean, is that the Boston effect?
Oh, man. Yeah. Actually, I was doing some recap posts that are going to be on the site in October, and I realized something that's really scary today. Agon and Teixeira have less homers combined than Edwin Encarnacion. Is that the most ridiculous sentence in the English language, or
wow.
What?
Wow.
No, the most ridiculous sentence in the English language is, Zinu is in all of us. I don't know. No offense to the Scientologists who are listening.
Careful, they're going to jihad you, buddy.
Yeah. I'm bringing out the racy shit today.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, Agon was... His fly balls, I went and looked at him. I looked at his page today because, like I said, I was doing my recaps, and his fly balls weren't as bad as I thought, and his ground balls weren't as bad. His problem looks more like it might be slightly a fluky thing where he I could see him bouncing back and giving 27 to 30 homers next year. I would I kind of like him more for next year.
I think once he gets back
than other guys than we've mentioned so far. I think he's due for a bit of a bounce back. I don't think he's going to hit, you know, 300 or but he's always in the middle of the order for good counting stats, and he could definitely have some power. So
no, I could see him too. Plus, too, he's back on the West Coast, so he can get his Pete's coffee instead of the Dunkin' Donuts. I think that was the issue. All right,
Dunkin' Donuts is pretty good.
I do. I'm just kidding. Next up on our list, what happened to Jacoby Ellsbury this year?
Oh man, let's go back to March. All right, you see the wavy lines in front of you? That's us traveling back to March. All right, we're in March. Hey, nice to meet you, Nick. Hey, you're going to be our podcast host. Cool. All right. Since we're still in March, let's talk about Ellsbury. I think he's going to hit 30 homers and steal 50 bases. What the fuck? Oh, my God. All right. Now we're back in September. Let's stick our heads in the oven.
All right, so Gray, where are you going to take Jacoby Ellsbury next year?
He's probably going to be more like a fifth rounder.
Would he be like a mini Trout now?
Yeah. I mean, he could be. I never really believed the 30 homer power. So if you pencil him in as healthy, giving you 17 to 20 homers and 35 to 45 bases, he's second round value with injury concerns, so you're drafting him around the fifth round.
All right, fair enough. You know what's interesting? They take the chicken and beer out of the Red Sox locker room, and Ellsbury falls apart, Agon falls apart, but anyway.
Well, that's actually a good point that I didn't even think of, that the Red Sox really need to rebuild their lineup going into next year. Otherwise, they're going to be, I mean, everyone's not going to, no one's going to have any value, or at least less value. The lineup right now looks like an Astros lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. And their system is not well stocked, according to our wonderful Scott Evans. Okay, next up on the list, Alex Rodriguez. He just done?
Before we move on to A-Rod, I mentioned on the blog the other day how the Red Sox, how Adelman Young is going to be a free agent. He seems like a lame-ass Red Sox free agent buy, doesn't he?
J.D. Drew-ish?
Yeah, right? Doesn't he? He doesn't have the on-base percentage. But I don't know. For some reason, I get the feeling that the Red Sox are going to overspend for Adelman Young.
You know, it's not a good free agent year, and their system is not well stocked, at least in the high minors, so I could see a couple years of transition there.
All right,
A-Rod.
A-Rod, ah, man, he sucks!
Is he just done?
Well, this kind of blew my mind. Guess where A-Rod is ranked on our player radar?
I have no idea.
All right, I'll give you two hints. It's lower than you think, and the second hint is it's lower still.
500th.
No, not that bad. Come on, let's be realistic here.
Well, I'll tell you this. He's actually putting up Justin Upton numbers, whatever that means.
Yeah, that's not good if you mean for this year. Yeah. No, it's the, what do you think? Where do you think he's ranked? It's somewhere in the top 200.
I'll say 135.
190.
Holy cow.
Right?
Wow.
That's really, I mean, this is A-Rod. Yeah. I mean, for a good, 15 years, he's been a second round at worst guy.
Huh.
I don't know. I felt like that was pretty surprising.
The real question is how many years are left on that contract?
Oh, man. I think there's still like another 6 years.
But actually, you know, we're talking about how bad the Red Sox might be. Think about the Yankees with that A-Rod contract, Jeter contract, Sabathia contract, Teixeira contract. Oi!
Oh, man. Yeah, they're pretty bad.
It's ugly.
A-Rod, I would say... I think you have to prompt me. Go ahead. Ask me where I think he's going to go next year and where
actually,
I'm going to draft.
I'll ask you this. Is he draftable next year?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely draftable.
Unless you're hoping
he's draftable. He's a third baseman. He's a corner man now. He's probably going to be penciled in for projections. I see probably they're going to come out around 20 homers and 5 steals and 270 average with good counting stats. That's assuming health, of course. So, I mean, that gets you... If he were to do all those numbers, that's around a 10th round, so around 120th overall getting drafted.
But that's kind of your best case scenario. And you just described, that's kind of the numbers Marco Scudero put up this year, you know?
Scudero didn't have that much power. But yeah, I mean, yes. I'm not saying it's great.
Oh, sorry. I meant Kyle Seager from Seattle. My bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Seager, I think, was just a little bit less on the average. But yeah, you're right. No, definitely. And A-Rod is probably ranked around Kyle Seager next year.
Right.
Against the wind.
Okay, next on our list, Roy Halladay.
What happened?
You know what?
Roy Halladay, yeah.
Can I throw something out here? Just because Toronto is Roy Halladay obsessed, and I haven't heard anyone kind of bring this up yet. I could see a situation, just because of their need for starting pitching, and where I think Philadelphia is as an organization, because his ERA was up, but his whip was still good. I could see a possible situation where Roy Halladay is retraded back to the Blue Jays. I'm just saying that. If that happens...
You also threw in there... A Blue Jays fan apology for going back to the glory days of Roy Halladay, even though he is nowhere near the pitcher he was earlier in his career. I mean, he lost two or three miles off his fastball. He's legitimately a number 2-3 man now. He's not a number one anymore.
Oh, I concur 100%. All I'm suggesting is that he's still, he's 35. I still think there's another, 2-3 years. He's just so dedicated to his regiment. I could just see a scenario where, he could be useful, and the Jays are going to be looking for a number two, number three pitcher. So I could see like a Travis d'Arnaud for Roy Halladay trade. Anyway, just my random thought.
No, it's a fair rant. I could see possibly something along those lines. I think the Phillies would be smart to get rid of him because the Phillies are another team. I mean, all those like late noughts teams are falling apart. Yeah. they got old real fast.
Absolutely. It's you know what? Because the previous generation aged a lot slower.
Yeah, well, they didn't get old until they stopped doing steroids in their 40s. Yeah,
bingo, bango. So where are you taking Roy Halladay next year? As a fantasy pitcher, what is he, a 4, a 5?
No, I think he's a 2-3. I think he's probably late hundreds overall.
Okay.
He'll probably get drafted before that just because of his name value. I could see people drafting him in the 7th or 8th round. I'm not going to have Roy Halladay next year.
Where would you take him?
Probably in the 10th round.
All right, next guy on our list is a guy that, you know what, if you drafted him, just shame on you. Nelson Cruz, because he does the same thing to you every year. Actually, here's a guy who needs to marry a Canadian. Sorry.
I have a bone to pick with that.
Okay.
Sir. Now, usually when he's healthy, he's good. This year he's been relatively healthy and not very good.
Well, and I guess that's my point, is that you're drafting him hoping he's going to play a full season because in, 400 at bats he gives you 25 homers.
Right.
So this year he actually got the at bats. Okay, so you tell me what happened.
Yeah.
Pick your bone.
No, I mean, What was that?
Well, I heard that a lot at the Mustachio Convention. Nelson Cruz.
Oh, man. There's a lot of guys on this list that Nelson Cruz comes to mind as guys who you've heard throughout the season, the manager saying, I think we're going to give him a mental break. Oh, man. When your player needs a mental break, you need to find a new player.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Yeah, I think he's been borderline terrible, but I mean, compared to the guys on this list, if he were to hit 6 homers in the last 12 games, his stats would look kind of passable. I mean, he hasn't been as bad as some of the other people that we've mentioned. But yeah, he hasn't had a good year. I've never owned him. I don't think I've never been a huge fan of his. I think he's always been slightly overrated. But I mean, he's okay. I think he's just having a down year. If he's healthy, I could see a bounce back a little bit. Right. I think some people have illusions that he's going to hit 40 homers and steal 20 bases. I don't think we're ever getting that from Nelson Cruz.
Right. Okay. What about Mark Teixeira? Any chance he ever comes back to what he was, or are we just seeing Father Time catching up?
Oh, man, these guys are so bad. he managed to make a terrible season worse with his extended DL in the September when you can't even DL a player. I think baseball just doesn't like fantasy. If they did, they would make sure people were DL'd in September.
All right. Do you like Teixeira going forward? Because I don't. I don't think he'll ever find his way on my team again.
No, I didn't like him. I didn't like him coming into this year. If you remember, he was one of the few players on this list that I didn't like coming into this year. Oh shit! I felt like Teixeira was overrated coming into this year, and I don't think anything's gonna change going into next year. I think he has he's now a 250 average guy, and he's starting to, you know, before, like when he was in Texas and even his first couple of years in New York, he always used to put up like 700 plate appearances, something insane. And he's not doing that anymore. Now he's going and he's putting up, you know, maybe 550. And it's a huge difference when you're getting a guy who's losing 150 times coming to the plate.
How do you think, not to go off topic here, but do you think a guy like that, with all the defensive changes, with all the shifting they're doing, which has really come into vogue, affects a pull hitter like that? I mean, I'm curious.
I don't think it would have affected him 2 or 3 years ago. But yeah, no, I think it's affecting him now. I think he can no longer, you know, shoot the ball past the drawn over infield or get those, you know, rocket line drives that one hop the wall.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame because I used to like Teixeira, but I didn't like him this year, and I'm not going to like him next year. I think he's probably going to be drafted just on name value, probably in the 5th round, and I don't see me getting him.
All right, we got a couple more to go through.
Oh, all right.
Next on our list is Dan Ugla, who makes me crazy. I just can't own him anymore. Trying to get power out of the middle infield, just forget it. I'm done.
Yeah, I could see that. I think there's something with Ugla where, I mean, I think the homer per fly ball is way off for his career this year. So he still has 25 to 30 homer power easily. Maybe not easily. 27, 30 homer power, but I don't think he's ever hitting 230 or above again. I think what we're seeing with Ugla is his strikeout rate is really, it's ballooned to the point where it's unmanageable. And he's a 210 hitter if he doesn't get any luck.
But that's like saying, yes, I realize she's incredibly unattractive, but her family is uber wealthy.
I thought you were going to say, but she has nice tits.
Butterface? Yeah, listen, you know what? Ugly's a butterface.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about Ugly, but he's got nice tits.
All right, next on our list. What happened to Brett Laurie this year?
I think he was probably just overhyped. He didn't, I don't know, you tell me. You're the Blue Jays fan. What happened with him?
A couple things. One is I think that there was obviously just kind of a natural regression to where he was as a hitter. You know, I think at his peak, you know, he'll probably be a 25 homer, 15 to 18 steal guy. But I think what's interesting from a baseball perspective, he's already given you a Gold Glove caliber defense. So, you know, from a baseball perspective, he's a great cornerstone. I think the only concern I have, he reminds me of, not to compare him to Pete Rose or even Scott Rolen, but just that, you know, I'm going to dive at everything and he just needs to be, you know, reined in a bit. I mean, he needs a controlling woman to control him and put a leash on him is what Brett Laurie needs, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah, listen, he's a rock star here. He is a god among men in Toronto. And this is a city that's dying for a team and a player to root for because the Maple Leafs have been so bad. So
is he well respected in Toronto?
Oh, they adore him.
They do?
Yeah. The media is a bit more, listen, you need to rein the kid in. But it's also, yeah, the enthusiasm is so infectious. And, you know, I was actually having a conversation today. You know, I think the Jays have really improved the bullpen. I think the lineup is top five in baseball when everyone's healthy. So, you know, they're a few starting pitchers away. So, you know, when you get Laurie, who's got everyone amped up and that lineup, he is a spark plug in a lot of ways. But, you know, I'm just worried we might only see him 120 games a year for the rest of his career.
Have they taken a liking to Edwin?
Yes, but it's funny actually with Edwin because he's been here for so long and it's always been, yeah, well, next year. Yeah, well, next year. But I think just with the sheer, you know, power numbers, people are definitely more on board. I think, too, it's, you know, Laurie's Canadian. He's got a lot of personality. You know who's actually a bit of a rock star here, too, is Aaron Sebia. And it's because, you know, he's taken to hanging out with hockey players and he's got a great personality. So
just peachy?
Yeah, just peachy. Just peachy, Aaron Sebia. So where are you taking Laurie? This is actually a great question, I think, for Laurie, because I think he's a key guy. Where does he go next
year? I think it is a good question, and I think it's one of the only guys so far on this list whose value, or draft value, I should say, really isn't going to change. I think he's young enough, and people love him so much. I think he's going to be drafted just like he was this year going into next year. I think people are giving him a buy, and they're going to be like, yeah, it wasn't the greatest year that we expected, but I still think he can do it again this year. I think he's still going to go around the fifth round.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, next on our list is Eric Hosmer. And I know. I believe.
You know, in the did you ever see the episode of Simpsons when Homer's hit with the cannonball in his gut? That's what it's like when you say Hosmer's name. Me? This is me in March. Hey, Eric Hosmer, welcome to Casa de Grey. It's September. I wonder where Casa de Hosmer is so I can throw a bag of dog shit at it. Oh, why did he do me so wrong?
You know what? I see.
And you know what's actually... No, before I let you go, with the Hosmer thing, I wasn't even that crazy about him in the preseason. I just ended up drafting him because I got friggin' suckered in.
All right. I will be buying Hosmer next year. I'm still buying in a Hosmer, but obviously it's going to depend on where he
too,
goes.
But I think unlike Laurie, or what's his name?
Laurie.
Unlike Laurie, I think Hosmer is actually going to come at a discount, and I'm going to throw good money after bad, and I'm going to draft him next year too if I can get him in like the 10th round, which I think is where he's going to be going.
You know, I think Hosmer was married to in a really terrible marriage to a girl named Babip, and I think he's going to get divorced in the off season, and he will be playing the field next year.
So it's the Rihanna defense.
You know what? I don't know. I just there's just something about how he swings the bat. I may be incredibly wrong, but he's interesting.
No, I agree. I am gonna be. I just hope we don't we're not here next September with me saying, "Hosmer, you did it to me 2 years in a row, you bastard."
That's called Gordon Beckham.
Yeah, I'm down with that ball.
Gordon Beckham. That's like the STD
I
you can't shake.
I fell for that trick already. Thanks, Gordon Beckham.
That's the girl you picked up at the bar you probably shouldn't have, and you went home with a surprise the next day.
And then married. Oops.
Why does she have so many tattoos? All right.
Why does she have my name tattooed on her? I don't remember that.
Wait a minute, but I spell my name Jeff with a J. All right, last guy on the list. And, you know, this goes back to Laurie and where he gets drafted because he's one of the, your favorite players to watch. And I know I'm guilty of it sometimes. I can't draft Tim Lincecum next year. But, man, the last couple years, that was my favorite player in baseball to watch pitch. What happened to Lincecum?
What happened? I think specifically he's had trouble with men on bases. He's walking people. He's not striking out people like he used to. He kind of looks like Katie Lang. No. he looks like he had an injury that just wasn't reported, and he's been dealing with it all year. Like, that's what it seems like, because this year has been so out of control, bad for him. I think he could, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he turns around next year and has a great year again. I'm not going anywhere near him. I'm not risking it. I don't think he's worth it, but I don't know. This year has been really bizarre for Lincecum. I think he's probably going to go in the maybe 12th round, 10th, 12th round, and it's a gamble for sure.
I don't know. Something about that frame and the delivery, I don't know. I just don't know, Gray. I don't know. And it makes me sad. Seriously, I used to. That was, you know, I used to watch all his starts, and you know, I would watch lineups, you know, or particular teams I wanted to see, but I would go out of my way to watch Lincecum starts. So it was a very sad season for me. Great, listen, yeah. We're gonna wrap it up, man. This was a long show today, but again, ladies and gentlemen, we got two podcasts left. So next week, what we're gonna do is we will mock the first few rounds. The three of us will take turns. We'll have Rudy back here. We'll mock. Just to get an idea of where people are going. And then in the final episode, 2 weeks from now, we will be discussing basically kind of like an end-of-season wrap-up, award show, stuff like that.
Oh, that sounds like fun. I hope I can make it.
As long as someone doesn't put a jihad on you.
I got one jihad on your head left, and I'm going to use it on you, Tulowitzki.
All right, Gray. Great show, buddy. Right, we'll talk next week. Thanks for listening, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care. Thanks to executive producer Scott Brown and the staff at Glenmore Records. If you ever need great recording studios in the city of Toronto, visit glenmorerecords.com. And a special thank you to Symphony of Nine for the greatest podcast intro song ever. It's a Rap Ball Podcast. It's a Rap Ball Podcast.